You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Well, the last few weeks we've been teaching on faith. We talked about Abraham being a father of faith, and couple of Wednesdays in a row, well, actually 3 Wednesdays in a row, I think we talked about our father Abraham and about his faith and how we're connected with him by faith. And then last week we started teaching on Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 started in the first verse. And we got all the way through the second verse last week. And we want to pick up on that and continue to teach along the lines of the subject of faith. You know, faith, you can't talk too much about it because it really is our connection with God. Now, we don't want to, you know, we don't worship faith and we don't honor faith and we don't exalt faith. We worship and honor and exalt Jesus. But without faith, we can't connect with Jesus. You have to believe on Jesus. All the scriptures concerning being saved, going to heaven, you know, being born again, coming out of your old life, repenting of your sin, all those scriptures have something to do with believing. You know, classic John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. But it doesn't stop there. It says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I think we do an injustice sometimes when we just talk about God, or we talk about what God wants, what God's will is, but we never tell anybody how to attain it. It'd be like standing on the street corner and saying, Jesus saves, Jesus loves you, Jesus saves, Jesus died for your sins. You know, you could say that all day long. That's correct, and we should tell that message. But until you tell someone, if you'll believe on him, if you'll call on him, are you with me? If you'll put your trust in him, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? Whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So that goes beyond just talking about what God wants and what God is and how much God loves us. It connects us with God and tells us what we should do about it. And that's where faith comes in. And I think that's where a lot of us miss out. And many good churches find good people, love God, and preach the Bible, as it were, and talk about the Lord and talk about Jesus. But they don't talk about our part to play. What should we do then? You know, Peter preached this message, a great message, in the book of Acts. And they said, what must we do? And he told them. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus. He told them what they must do. So faith is our part. We can't work, we can't earn, we can't be good enough to get saved, but we sure can call, and we sure can believe. Amen? And I don't believe God's ever stopped doing what he's ever done. God has always been the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the Lord God, changes not. There never was a day of miracles. Good old Bible days, you know, miracle days. No, God's still in the miracle working business. God hadn't changed, we just quit believing. If we would believe like they believe, we'd get the same thing they got. If we believe like that woman, the issue of blood, Mark the 5th chapter, that was persistent in her faith and came up behind Jesus, grabbed his garment, and got healed. Jesus incidentally told her her faith made her whole. If we believe like she believed, we'd get healed too. Are you with me? So faith is paramount. It's a very important subject. It's not an entity. We don't worship it. Are you with me? We're not great super people because we believe. There's only one super person, that's Jesus. And faith in and of itself doesn't heal us. Faith connects with the healer. Amen? Faith puts us in contact with the healer. And as we'll see as we go on here, I don't know if I'll get that far tonight, but even in this chapter it tells us that without faith it's impossible to please God. And if you want to please God, you need to believe. Now, you can be a child and not be very pleasing to God. How many of you ever had children? Need I say more? We love our children, and God loves all of us. But he's very, very explicit about what pleases him. You know, sometimes I can grieve the Spirit even. Doesn't mean he doesn't love me. He still loves me. But the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. So there are certain actions and certain words and certain things that I might say about God that wouldn't be pleasing to him or would grieve him. I'm still his child. He still loves me. But I want God more than just to love me. I'd like him to be pleased with me. How about you? You know, Jesus said, I do always those things that please the Father. I'd like to live my life, not in a manner that everybody knows I trust Jesus, that everybody knows I'm a Christian, but also I'd like to live in a manner that pleases the Lord, that pleases my Father, that he's pleased with me. And faith pleases him. Trusting him pleases him. That's what the scripture says. In fact, this is what we've been studying here in Hebrews chapter 11, is the Faith Hall of Fame. It is a list of men and women who believed God in different ages and different times and different circumstances. They were from different walks of life. The only thing common that we can find in all their lives, from all the way from, it talks about Abel, it talks about Enoch, talks about Noah, talks about Abraham and Sarah, goes on, talks about Moses and then Joshua, and it just lists a bunch of them, just a matter of a few verses. The only thing that we can find in common, that common thread, is their faith. Not their age, not their occupation, not the time they lived in, because it spans history. I mean, it goes spans some 2,000 years there before Christ even. These men and women trusted God, and that's what merited them to come into this, to be placed into this Faith Hall of Fame. And if you want to get God's ear or his attention, if you want God to be pleased with you, and as the second verse says, by faith the elders obtained a good report. If you want a good report from God, then by faith we get a good report. Yes. Trials and tribulations are different with everybody. What you face is different than what somebody else is facing. But rest assured, you're going to face some trials in this life. We're not in heaven. You're going to face opposition. You're going to face challenges in life. Life's full of challenges. But the good news is, if you trust God and you believe God, you pass the test, hallelujah, and you get a good report from God. The test the devil's trying you with and coming against you with. All right, so Hebrews 11, 3, glory. I'm so glad you came tonight. Hebrews 11, 3 tells us, real simply, by faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. Now, when you break that down, he's saying this, real simply, that if you really want to understand, then you have to understand by faith. We don't understand God because we're so smart. We understand God because we trust him. And if you want to understand God better, trust him more. Turn more things over to him. Pray about more things. Come to him more frequently. Read more of his word. Through faith we understand. Not through understanding we believe. I think that's very significant, because I think sometimes we get the idea that if we just get smart enough, we can believe. Well, no, that's a different faculty. Intelligence is one thing and faith is another thing. Sometimes we can be educated way beyond our intelligence. Are you with me? I know people that are just a whole lot smarter than they're able to contain. I mean, they don't even know how to handle all the information they have. They have a lot of information. They don't know what to do with it. Are you with me? And you've seen educated fools. You know, they could give you the facts and quote the information and so on, but they don't have a clue as to what to do with it. And socially inept, not able to even carry on a conversation. Don't have any horse sense, as we would say, or common sense, as we say in the country, horse sense, common sense. But they're extremely intelligent. You know, they're educated way beyond their intelligence, I guess. And the thing about the Bible, what's so unique, I see the longer I live, is that you can be too smart to get this, but you cannot be too dumb. That's not an insult. In other words, it doesn't matter about your level of learning. It doesn't matter about your academic achievements. It's not a matter of whether you're intelligent or not. Thank God, this is good news, okay? What matters is whether you believe or not. And if you come like a child believing, you can receive from God. And sometimes we as adults are too smart to get it, because we know all the things in the natural and all the reasons in the natural. And we know all the natural reports, especially when it comes to healing. We know all the things the doctors said. We've had the MRIs and we've had the X-rays and we've had the doctor's reports. And we've done everything the doctor said to do. We know everything there is about it. We can tell you every part in our body that's hurting and why it's hurting and what's wrong with it and so on and so forth. But we know so much about it in the natural that we just can't get past all that to believe God. Hello. Well, you know what this is? This is an artery that goes over this way and that way. And what it is, I've seen the X-ray and they showed it to me on there. You know, they had an MRI and RI and everything. You know, we looked at it and that thing's just, we've had tests and put dye in it. And the thing's just, you know, it's just collapsed and all. And there's all these things we can come up with. And I understand it. Thank God for the medical profession and thank God for what they can do. I'm for hospitals. I'm for doctors. I'm for surgery. So don't take this message to say, you shouldn't go to the hospital, you shouldn't take medicine, have surgery. But sometimes, because we know so much about in the natural, we cannot believe. You know, I met a guy that didn't have a lung. He was missing a lung, and God put a lung in his body. And the insurance company, this guy was at Lakewood. He came through Lakewood. He had it removed, surgically removed. And the insurance, when God, miracle, put a lung in his body, the insurance company was all flipping out about it because they had paid, you know, for the surgery, and now he has this lung, and he didn't have surgery to get a lung. He had surgery to get his lung taken out. He only had one lung, and now he's got two, and he had to bring all the surgery records to prove to them that it had been removed and to tell them that it was a miracle that had been put back in. Now, you go figure that one out. I met a man at Lakewood, Ronald Cohen. You might have heard of him years ago. You were probably there, Eva. Came through Lakewood. He had an empty eye socket. His eye, as a child, he lost his eye. He could see through that empty eye socket. He came to Lakewood. Some of the elders at Lakewood Church that I knew personally, we were at the meeting, were holding cards up to that eye. And he let them patch his other eye up. And he was seeing right through an empty eye socket. He was reading off cards. They'd hold up cards. He'd just read it off to him. Or through his glass eye. He had a glass eye, and he reads right through that thing, too. Now, how do you explain that? I mean, you could get all the doctors together and get all the intelligentsia together, all the academia together, and thank God for intelligence and academics. I'm for all that. But there's no explanation for that in the natural. That's supernatural. How would you even understand that? Well, you just have to accept that. You couldn't understand it. Only through faith could you understand that. I've met many people that were supernaturally healed. No explanation for it in the natural. Are you with me? You can't explain that. Now, thank God for reading and studying and learning and improving your education. I'm for all that. I read voraciously. I'm a voracious reader. I read lots of books every year, you know, probably 50 different books a year, not counting the Bible. Probably read the Bible 2 or 3 times a year, every year. And, I read all the time. But when I come to God, I have to believe what he says, some verse, just some simple little promise. I have to put my faith in and trust that he will do it. And I don't have to orchestrate the miracle. I don't have to tell God how to do the miracle. All I have to do is just believe he'll do the miracle. Are you with me? And I think most times we get in trouble because we try to tell God how to do the miracle. You know, I've often said that if you're believing for a financial miracle and you've found in the promises of God's word that he would bless you, and just some I quoted today, you're a tither, you're a giver, and you're believing he'll open the windows of heaven, you're believing that what you give will come back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. You know, you're quoting those verses. Don't wear the grass out between the front door and the mailbox. It may not come in the mailbox. Sometimes we limit God because we have a certain way we want him to do it. Well, don't tell God how to do it. Just believe him for it. Are you out there? Maybe believing for money for a car. God may want to just give you the car. I mean, you know, I've had that happen. I mean, just a brand new car. Somebody just gave us a brand new car, you know. And here we had it all planned out. I'm believing for the payment, or I'm believing for the money to come in, or I'm believing for this amount of money or whatever to buy a car with. Well, what are you believing for is a car. If he gives you the money for it, that's fine. Are you out there? But just leave it all up to God. Be cautious when you're believing that you're not trying to orchestrate the miracle. That you just trust in God, period, on his word, on his promise, what he says. You know, God has done so many things in our church in 31 years, in so many just wild ways. It's been a great ride, it really has, to see how God, and half the fun is just seeing how he does it, to see how God has blessed us and how God has provided for us and some of the unique ways he's done things around here. You know, you've heard us tell the story about the land, and, you know, we were believing to get this land behind us, and we had 3.5 acres, and we wanted to expand out and get some more land, and turned out I finally worked out a deal. Mo knows the whole deal. We finally worked out a deal with these three guys that owned 103 acres behind us, but we had to buy all 103 acres, so they wouldn't sell it any other way. And I dealt with them for 7 years, at least, writing letters back and forth. This went on and on. You know the story, Mo. On and on and on. And there were three Jews, Yitzhak, Goldstein, and Reuben. That's their names. And all three of them owned it. And so the only way we could get, they tried to even trade land with us. You know, they say, okay, we'll donate 6 acres if you'll build us a road and then maintain. Oh, it just got crazy. It got to where, you know, finally said, no, nah, we're just not going to do that. Well, anyway, somebody come up and says, I heard you confessing land, and what do you plan on doing? I said, well, we really need to buy all of it, but we need to have some of it sold before we buy all of it, because we really don't have the money to buy all of it. And this guy said, well, why don't you just go ahead and buy all of it? I'll buy whatever you don't. What you don't buy. And I said, well, what are you going to do with that? You know, real great faith. I said, what are you going to do with that land? He said, oh, it's no problem. I got plenty of money. That's no problem. Well, it turned out it was somebody that had plenty of money. I didn't know that. And my son-in-law told me, did you see the cars that guy was driving when he come to church? Well, I get here early, and I'm the last one to leave. I don't see people's cars. I just saw somebody come in blue jeans and sit down. Well, it turned out I contacted people, made the deal, and so we were faxing papers. It's like 27 papers I had to fax to this lawyer back and forth and fax back that day. That day was just, it can be a nightmare when you're trying to make all the legal, everything look just right. And so we made the deal, and we had enough money to buy 20 acres, I think, so we saved up, and he was going to buy off, well, I think we were going to get 25, and he's going to be off 75. And the day we're closing, the day I'm faxing these papers back, he calls me up, and he says, well, you got the deal done? I said, well, I'll have it done today. I'll let you know when we get it done. And he said, well, how much do you all want to buy? And I said, well, we're talking about 25 or 30 acres. I said, when I get it all settled, I'll call you, and we'll talk about it. And he said, well, I'll buy the rest of it. Don't worry about it. And I said, okay. He said, well, is it going to be 25 or 30 acres? And I said, well, no, I don't know. I said, I got enough for 25 or 30. Let me close the deal out. We'll sit down. We'll see where we are. We'll talk about it. And then we'll X out whatever you want, and then you buy from us and get all that done anyway. He says, no, no, no. He said, I don't think you understand. He says, I'm going to buy the extra land, and I'm going to write a check for the money, the land you buy as the church. I want to pay for that land too. 25 or 30 acres. I said 30. Well, I'm not a fool. I may have been born last night, but yesterday, but not last night, you know. Well, anyway, as it turned out, we wound up getting 10 more because we had some designated money that we did need to spend, and that we got like 40 acres plus the 3.5 that we have, lower 40 acres. But I would have never dreamed that scenario. Are you with me? We're calling that land in, believing that land. If you were here at that time, you've heard us stand up here and call land in, service after service. You know, we said, land, come in. So, you know, sometimes we get so wrapped up in how God does something, and all we're really supposed to do is just believe God to do it. Because he may send ravens to feed you. You don't know. I mean, the Bible's literally filled with hundreds of different ways God does things. You know, Jesus healed people with a word. One place he spit on the ground. You know, he got mud and spit in his hand and put it on a guy's eyes. Are you with me? Now, you might balk at that, but that's what Jesus did one time. You know, Elijah told one guy to go down the river and dip 7 times. Well, you know, there was no healing power in the river. It was just the act. It was what God wanted to do that time. There was no healing power in the mud. Are you with me? It was just in the obedience is what it was. So through faith we understand. You can't make sense of everything God does. You have to trust him, believe him. And the more you believe him, trust him, the more you understand him. You know, St. Augustine was a great saint. He said, understanding is the reward of faith. He said, therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. Are you with me? I mean, can you imagine trying to explain everything to a 5-year-old child where they're wanting to know how something happens? You know, they just trust daddy and they trust mama. They don't understand how the car drives. They get in it and you drive them off, you know. You don't even know how a car operates. You just turn the key on and there it comes. Are you with me? I dare say very few of us would actually know how a car, I mean, Bobby's here, he would know. You know, all the parts in a car and what makes the engine turn and what charges the battery and, you know, and the way the alternator's wired and, oh, come on. It's so complex. There's so many things going on in a car. But, you know, you don't have to be a genius to drive a car. Just look around, living proof. All of us drove here tonight. No insult, I'm just saying. All you got to do is turn the key on, crank it up, put it in gear, and go on down the road, you know. You don't have to know anything about electricity for the lights to come on. Just flip the switch. Light comes on. You say, well, now I tell you what, now I'm not going to trust God till I can understand exactly what this is all about. Well, you don't have to understand what it's all about. You don't even live your life that way. You don't sit down in that pilot seat in that plane before you get on that plane, fly off somewhere. You buy a ticket and you sit down and you let the pilot do his job. You trust in what they do. It's too complicated. When you have surgery, you don't even do that. Did you know, obviously a physician or a surgeon is going to explain as best he can what he's doing, but you don't have the years of training he's had or she's had. You don't know all the intricacies of the body and how it reacts to this and that and all the different tools he's going to use and machines that you're going to be hooked up to. He explains to you in simple terms as best he can what kind of surgery it's going to be, what's going to happen, and then you trust him. Or you trust her, whoever they are. We do this every day. Are you with me? Why do we come to God, the most complex being in the universe, the original person of all personhood, are you with me, and expect to understand everything before we, but bless God, before we believe? No, you have to believe. You just have to trust him, hallelujah. And you've been doing it every day of your life with somebody. Why not trust God? Through faith we understand. Through faith we understand. He goes on and says that the worlds are framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. In other words, everything you see was made from the unseen world. That's good news when you get a hold of that. Because whatever it is you're needing to be, see, whatever it is you're needing to be in your life, whatever it is that needs to be done in your life, whatever's not happening that needs to happen in your life, whatever you need to be feeling you're not feeling in your body, whatever it is that needs to be, whatever is seen, I'll tell you what, from the unseen world, you can bring an unseen thing into the seen world. You can bring a thing that is not into the world that is by calling those things that be not as though they were. Through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. They were made from the unseen world. And you can make a good marriage. You can make a healing, you can bring a healing into your body by trusting God. God will do it. I mean, he gets the glory, he gets the honor. But your faith connects with it and pulls it out of the spirit, as it were. Your faith latches on to it and pulls that healing out of the spirit into the natural. It'll pull joy into depression, lightness into dark. Good stuff, amen. So we're seeing faith is paramount. Man, we got to get in faith. Are you with me? You know, I was studying this verse one time and just taking it apart. Another way you can look at this in the context of this chapter, which, as I said many times already, this chapter is a list of people, men and women, who believed God and got miracles, signs, wonders, and so on and so forth. I want you to think about this a moment. Now listen to me closely because I'm going to put a little different twist on this. I believe with no problem at all that everything was made from the unseen world. I believe no problem at all. Through faith we understand that the worlds were made and framed by the word of God. No problem at all. But I think there is something deeper here in this verse that we're missing, simply because we just run by it religiously, as it were. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed. The word worlds is an interesting word. Aeons, it's ages or times is what it is. It's not earths. It's not planets. It's not terra firma. You know, what he's talking about, I believe, in context here is dispensations and ages, because it is the word aeons. So through faith, we understand that the ages, and let's get it in context, the ages that he is going to list before you, the age of Abel, the age of Enoch, the age of Noah, the age of Abraham, the age of Moses, the times that they lived in. By faith, we understand that the ages were framed. The word framed actually is the word to fix or to set right. Remember when Jesus came upon the disciples and he said they were mending their nets? Same word. Very same word in Greek. So what they were doing, they were fixing their nets. They were putting them in proper order. That's what the Greek word actually means. They were fixing something that wasn't right. They were repairing something that had been broken. And this is exactly what Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Moses, Joshua, this is what they did in the age they lived in. And he's going to list them for us one by one. And through faith, we understand that the ages these different people lived in were fixed and mended and set right and put back in order through the Word of God. through their faith in God. Through their faith in God, Noah fixed. His whole family saved them by building an ark. Are you with me? Through faith in God's word, Abraham, when he was past time to give birth, and Sarah past time to give birth, had Isaac. By faith, they fixed something that wasn't right. They mended something that wasn't. The age they lived in, through faith they fixed it. See, this is the great call. It's the great appeal of this chapter. Because what he's telling us is, this is how Noah got out of the mess he was in. This is how Enoch got out of the mess he was in. This is how Abraham fixed the age he lived in. This is the way Sarah fixed the times and the age and dispensation that she lived in. This is how she mended it and set it back right in order through the Word of God. This is how Moses, in the times he lived in, what tough times he lived in, but yet the age he lived in by faith with the Word of God, he fixed it and he turned it around. The challenges that Joshua faced, this is how he did it. He did it, he fixed it, he mended it. The age he lived in, through the Word of God, he framed and fixed his world, his age. So that the things which were seen crossing the Jordan River, going into the land of Canaan, those things were not made by things which do appear. They were made possible because Joshua believed God. Are you with me? Moses delivered the children of Israel in his age, and it happened not by things which do appear. The things we saw, the Exodus, the crossing of the Red Sea, the manna in the wilderness, the water from the rock, that happened because of the Word of God. Through faith we understand that the ages were fixed and mended. Are you with me? Through the Word of God. So that things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. And the challenge is to all of us as we go through here is that I don't know what age you're living in. I don't know what circle you're living in. I don't know what world you're living in. I don't know what's wrong needs to be fixed in your life. But I know that by faith and the Word of God, you can fix your life. Are you with me? You can change the culture. You can change the situation. Every one of these people did, and you can too. Woohoo! Are you with me? I believe we understand by faith. I believe the worlds were made by the Word of God. I believe that things which are seen were not made by things that are seen, but they're things that appear that they're made by the unseen world. I believe all that, and that's a truth, and we're not refuting that. But I think in context, he's actually saying something more than that. He has given us a prelude to what he's going to lay out before us age by age. Are you with me? Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and he starts listing them, different ages that were turned around, and they were mended like the nets that the disciples were mending and fixing that had been broken. They mended them. They framed them. That word framed is the same Greek word. Woo! Maybe your life needs a little mending. I don't know. Maybe you need to be set in order. I don't know. Maybe you need some help and to be straightened back out again. Well, I can tell you, whatever age you're living in, because there's a lot of different ages listed here, every one of them got a fix. Every one of them got mended. Every one of them got put back in order. And what is the common ground? They all believed. And every one of us can believe. And every one of us can mend our nets. We can fix our marriage. We can fix our messed up life. We can fix our messed up emotions. We can fix whatever's wrong with us. If we'll get in faith, through faith, we understand that my world, my time, this time I live in, can be fixed by the Word of God. And so what I see here and what I want to see was not made by things which do appear, but made out of the unseen world. That's good stuff. That's good preaching. Hallelujah. But I submit to you, I really believe that's what it means. That's the context of what's going on here. And that's exactly what those words mean in the Greek anyway. And I think we just kind of read through that because we already, you ever get an idea of what a scripture says and you can read it 100 times, that East Texas comes out 100 times. You can read it 100 times and you don't catch anything new. You just go right by it because you already know what it means. But if you'll stop, chew on it, you'll stop, chew, take it apart, look at it. I challenge you, go look those words up. It's easily accessible. You can look up, if you've got a laptop or a desktop or an iPad or any kind of electronics, you can look it up. Or if you have a Greek concordance, a Strong's exhaustive concordance, just look up the two words, worlds and framed. It'll blow you away. It'll open up a whole new avenue to you when you start looking at that. You go, wow. He wasn't talking about creating the worlds. He was talking about these people fixing theirs. Woo! I preach myself happy. I don't know about y'all. But that's good stuff. Hallelujah. Well, are you willing to do that? I'm willing to do it. How about you? I'm willing to fix my world. If there's something wrong with your world, you need to fix it. In fact, if you don't know the truth, that's what we're still here to do. You say, well, we're here to get saved. Well, if that were the case, God would take you to heaven as soon as you accepted Jesus. But he left you here. I've been here for a long time since I got saved. Why? So I could advance the kingdom, so I could pray his will to be done in the earth, as it is in heaven, so I could shine my light. Are you with me? So I can go into all the world and preach the gospel, so I can lay hands on the sick and they'd recover. So I can bring help, healing, and hope to a suffering, sighing, dying world. Why? Because the world needs fixing. That's multiple means in Texas, fixing. I'm fixing to do something, you know. Well, we need to be fixing. We need to be fixing to fixing stuff. That's what we need to be doing. That's why we're here. And the way we're going to fix it is with the Word. By faith. Faith in the Word. Trust in the Word. Trust in the Word. Faith in the Word. Then we can fix the age that we live in. I love it. It's good stuff, isn't it? But that's what we're here. We're here to fix things. We're here to mend some nets. That's why we're still here. As long as you're here, you can start mending some nets. You can help mend some people's nets. Mend your nets. Mend their nets. This food bank's about fixing people. You know, in fact, I think that's on the T-shirts we ordered, you know. Hope, healing, and help. You know, bringing hope, healing, and help. Hallelujah. Good stuff. Well, hey, last week we got through two verses. This week we got through one. I don't know what that bodes for next week, but but did that help you?
Yes.
Hey, we're in no hurry. We're here to learn. Amen. I want to learn. I want to get this in me. Praise God. That one revelation is worth a whole service anyway. That one revelation changed your life if you get a hold of it. If you'll chew on that and meditate on that, that with a word in your mouth, if you believe and trust it, you can fix your world. I mean, you can't fix the whole world. You can fix your age, the circle you live in, the times you live in. Hallelujah.